getting America back on track. Bill Martinez live.
It's what we do as we continue to discover the truth, no matter where it leads. That is our passion, our commitment to you. Admittedly, there are some platforms that are afraid of the truth, and we have been canceled from time to time. But, we forge forward thanks to you. And I appreciate your support in all this. It's just about 6 minutes after the top of the hour. My good friend Bruce Thatcher is back with us, the founder of History Speaks Today. He's the author of History Speaks Today's first 5 full-length books. He graduated from Iowa State College, University of Chicago. He worked in marketing and management with national companies, then founded and led a telecommunications consulting firm for some 30 years. While living in the Chicago area, he became involved in politics, was elected to a local school board, serving a term as its president. Later, he served on the National Board of Directors of Literacy Volunteers of America, taught university classes as an adjunct professor. He's now retired, and we're grateful that he makes some time to come on the show. I share some of his curriculum vitae with you to realize that this is a man who has been in the arena. He's been in the fight, and his experience is genuine. It is precious. It's of value. And so I would say take note, because his passion for history and his experience are great lessons for us to learn while he's still around, because we'll want to pass them on to the next generation. Bruce Thatcher, my good friend, good to have you with us. How are you, sir?
I'm just fine on this 40th day of triple-digit temperatures down here. but that's part of living in this wonderful country, is that sometimes it's hot.
Yes, exactly, especially there in Texas. And I know sometimes people wonder, go, oh, my God, did the rapture come and I ended up in the wrong floor? What happened here, you know? So. But that's all is well. Thank God we're still alive and we're able to talk here. And by the way, congratulations on your new book, Too Big, How to Tell and How to Get More Accountability. Now, in reviewing this book, Bruce, there is a model that has, from time in memoriam, that seems to be consistent with this idea of too big. There's always this prevailing force of people wanting more control, more power, and of course, along with that, you get corruption, right?
Well, I think you made the valid point. It is a natural, historically reoccurring thing, as people get involved in organizations, a hierarchy develops, somebody is at the top of that. As the organization gets more powerful, the individual gets more powerful, and as they do, they often begin to use their power in inappropriate ways, at least from the point of view of most of us. And what happens in this country, at least I think probably all over the world, is that these people at the top of organizations are generally shielded from responsibility or accountability for their actions.
Exactly.
They can always put it off on somebody else or just ignore it.
Mm. Well, they hate accountability. Nobody wants the light shining on their stuff, and especially when you're the leader, because you feel like somehow if I admit to anything wrong, it compromises my leadership and I become less than, which, time and again, I mean, you cite several people in your book, Too Big here, but there are many other people who decided to lead differently and to lead with accountability, and they are the ones that are exceptional, and they are the ones whose pattern in leadership that we need to study, right?
We do, and these people are the ones who are working harder at it. It is hard. It's hard to resist that lure of invincibility that attaches to powerful positions. But there are probably more leaders of organizations who are accountable because they choose to be accountable than who are not. But the ones who make the news, the ones who seem to affect us more often, and who draw our ire because they're getting away with things we think they shouldn't get away from.
Exactly.
Those are the ones we hear about. That's the ones that addressed in my book, Too Big.
Yeah, and we're going to talk about those that are too big. And I just want to give one more minute to those who are responsible, who are effective leaders, who go about their business, you know, taking care of their business, taking care of their people, being honorable, standing up for mistakes when they make them. And this is the thing. The thing is so dangerous right now, as we know, particularly when we're dealing with the political process and that which is advertised or promoted so much, you being a communications expert and all the experience that you've had, is it taints the pool. People begin to think, oh my gosh, everybody's doing it, so maybe it's not so bad, maybe it's acceptable, especially when it is the president who is dodging accountability and officials in key areas. I mean, more so than any, they should be the ones that are above reproach because they are the examples to the current and next generation, are they not?
Amen. They are. And sometimes the examples are good, and sometimes it seems to some of us, at any rate, most of the time anymore, they're not so good.
Mm-hmm. Well, interesting, the five that you picked, these five high-profile historical and current examples of where accountability was and is flawed or missing. That was interesting. You went to the East India Company and cited Robert Clive. Tell us about Robert, if you would, please.
Robert Clive rose from very ordinary circumstances, joined the East India Company as a very young man. Mm-hmm. And was literally sent to represent the company in India. And the East India Company was just getting active in India at that time, and and he worked his way up through enterprise, and he was good at what he did, so that he eventually became East India Company's chief officer in India. Mm-hmm. He was not a company.
Now explain to our audience the East India Company, what they did and why they became so powerful.
The East India Company was a commercial enterprise, purely a commercial enterprise. And the British government gave them a charter that allowed them exclusive trading rights virtually all over the world as far as British firms were concerned. And it also gave them the right to raise armies and to interfere and control in anywhere they went. They established a commercial foothold in India, which at the time was not a very sophisticated country commercially, and they began increasing their power. Now, they weren't the only ones. Obviously, the Dutch and the French and others were there also, so they were fighting the European wars on the Indian continent as well, and Robert Clive became in charge of that. He was not. You have to understand what was happening. Then you have to realize that in order to get word back and forth from London to India in those days, it took about a year for the sailing ship to go back.
Wow. Boy, a lot of stuff could be accomplished in that year.
So,
I mean, you talk about snail mail, right? You have no idea.
That's right.
There it is.
And that idea of poor communications or long communications still exists today, although...
Exactly. Got to go to break. More from Bruce after this. Hey, we're back with you, fresh and independent, just the way you'd like to hear from us, 19 minutes after the top of the hour. And, of course, again, I appreciate the team that works with us to keep us independent and fresh as well. You know, Brad at Mission Control there in Minnesota, he's got us all under control. You know, he takes care of us, and then on the side, he's out there cutting a hole in the ice, doing that fishing thing that they do. Mm-hmm. I still don't know what they call that hole in the ice. Yeah, not today, exactly. It's like some big whales liable to come and grab him, take him away. Don't you dare do that. I need him here. But again, my congratulations to GCN, you know, for their independence and allowing us, as I was just sharing with Bruce, social media platforms have become so political that our speech is being throttled back. We're being, you know, in some cases defunded, all kinds of shenanigans going on. But, you know, again, grateful to GCN that they allow us to remain independent for as long as we can in our in our pursuit of the truth, no matter where it leads, because this is what's happening. I mean, look what's happening with President Trump, Bruce. I mean, if you're thinking something, they're going to indict you. This is what it comes down to. I mean, this is absolute silliness, what's happening. It's beyond silliness. This is grave, what's going on. I mean, it puts this constitutional republic in a very precarious situation, doesn't don't you think, as a historian?
I do. I remember back when the big news was that the Nixon had an enemies list. Mm-hmm. What he had is just kindergarten stuff compared to what is everyday things for today.
Oh, yeah. If you're a conservative, you're on Joe Biden's list.
That's right.
Right. I mean, before, like under Barack Obama, if you were with the Tea Party or conservative, you were on the list, and the IRS, had all kinds of fun with you, moving your cheese.
Yep.
So we've got, the 2.0 on steroids of that policy that has continued because we did not lop its head off.
And it will continue for the same reason. It is, as I point out. Some of the recommendations that I make in Too Big are very simple, little things, but they do require legislation, and therefore they're tough to get done. They're tough to get done because you're messing around with this with this deep state. I'll use the term kind of organization where you push the wrong buttons and they're going to come after you. I really believe that.
Well, there's no doubt they've made that quite clear. I mean, and we're realizing the deep state has become the fourth branch of the government, these unelected officials, and how they're tormenting we, the people. And there has to be a concerted, united outrage against this, whether it is a convention of the states, whatever that can properly do. Because what I'm concerned about, Bruce, is they're pushing the people. I mean, they're pushing us to a Tiananmen Square moment here in the United States.
I hope you're wrong. But
I do too, but look what happened in January 6th.
Yeah.
January 6th was a little bit of example of that, where people are saying, hell no, you can't do this. I mean, regardless of how they want, what the narrative, you've got to break this thing down and look at, why did you get a million people to descend on D.C. on January the 6th after an election that a majority of the people believed that there were shenanigans that took place?
It's things like that that may, and it'll just be a spark. A little spark will start it off.
That's what I'm afraid of. I'm afraid of that. But you know what happened is that you can think back, our country and this great American idea started out of an American Revolution. It's part of our DNA, and it may come to that, because we've had people in the past, Bruce, who have served this country, who have put their hand in the Bible, and guess what? Their vow, their oath of office has not expired. And I'm talking about those in the military who promised to defend against all enemies, foreign and domestic. To defend our Constitution against all enemies, foreign and domestic. And that vow is still in play.
I think it is for many of them, absolutely.
Yeah.
And as an interesting thing, the valuable thing to remember in all this is that this country was formed through the actions of a small group of people who decided together to do something monumental. It doesn't take millions and
100% of the people.
No.
Yeah, exactly. When you look at historically, like you say, Bruce, I mean, look what happened in Germany. It was only 10% of the people, that became Nazis and controlled 90%. So time and again, you go back through history, to your point, exactly. It's a few number of people. I mean, look at all the craziness we're dealing with right now, whether we're talking about, sexual transformation and ideation and all the crud that's going on, human trafficking and all that. Small group of people are tormenting the majority of Americans.
And I shake my head at people I know who are buying into those kinds of things.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, you say, how can you buy into that? But they do.
Yeah, we talk about common sense leaving the building, but it's more than common sense. It's common sense and courage. I think they, you know, in order to affect something, it requires courage, and this is what is being called upon, you know, we the people, as who is going to have the courage to, you know, stand up, you know, against these radicals. I mean, we've seen it time and time again, whether it's in music or movies or other venues where courage takes a stand and will not be woke, will not be shaken by the wokesters. They continue to provide a service that is welcomed. But the thing is that, as you said very appropriately, is we've got to be united. We've got to come. There's got to be some force that unites these disparate ideas that are heading in the right direction, you know, that want a return of common sense and courage. And, you know, I think the moms have been leading the way, especially in the educational process. But unfortunately, we've got social media, you know, the media, you know, industrial complex is being controlled by the deep state that is, you know, you talk about disinformation. They are controlling the channels of communication, telling people what they should believe. You know, it goes back to what I wrote over a year ago when I asked the audience, who told you to hate Donald Trump? I mean, this virile response of hatred towards Donald Trump. I mean, here's a guy who gave up his salary. Look at all the great things, energy independence, securing the border overseas. We had renewed standing internationally, what he had done with NATO. On and on, one success, jobs, people making more money, happier than ever. And I guess the American people decided having that kind of success and happiness wasn't good enough and that we needed to bring Joe Biden as a replacement in. Doesn't make sense to me, but, you know.
Most people, and I have to include myself among them to a degree, have short attention spans. They do not attend to a given subject very long. Mm-hmm. And they lose memory of it, in effect.
Right, exactly.
And we just keep having to repeat it over mm-hmm. and over and learn over and over.
Right.
And it's particularly tough because mm-hmm. the kinds of people, we're talking about the founders, we're talking about people who are independent thinkers, which is what we want, but mm-hmm. independent thinkers don't easily all unify and agree at one time.
Right.
There's a
that's
lot
why they're independent.
Yeah, that's right. That's part of the definition.
Exactly. Hey, Bruce, I have to apologize to you because we went down a little bit of a rabbit hole. I apologize.
That's all right.
This is what happens with you and I. See, when you and I haven't talked on a regular basis, we've got to reconnect on these other issues. But obviously, you're going to come back many times and talk about Too Big. About 40 seconds left. I'm going to let you summarize where we are with that and what the people can look forward to the next time we talk and how they can get their hands on the book. They don't even have to wait till the next time. They can get your book now, right?
Indeed, they can. It's available on all anywhere books are sold. It's available, although you may have to ask for it and search for it at this point early in its introduction. And of course, it's available on my website, historyspeakstoday.com, which you can buy direct from, or you can link into in many of the other kinds of book, you know, Amazon and Barnes and Nobles and those kinds of things.
I'll tell you, read this book, Too Big. It'll open your eyes to see what's going on. Even, believe it or not, what's happening in Maui, Hawaii. Yeah, believe it or not. Bruce Thatcher, thank you so much for being with us.